The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Marion and Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee and Molly with Jimmy Shields, Bill Thompson, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Goody Goodbye. In the month just ahead, there will be many days that are cloudy and gray. Isn't it very important on such days to have your home bright and cheerful? Your kitchen especially, where you spend so many hours? There's one thing that will brighten your kitchen more than anything else. Gleaming linoleum floors kept fresh and spotless with Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat. Glow Coat requires no rubbing or buffing. There's practically no work to it. You just apply Glow Coat, it shines while it dries, with no further work from you. It not only keeps your floors beautiful, but it actually makes linoleum last many times longer than an unprotected floor. Glow Coat is safe, easy to use, and sure to please. Try some tomorrow on your floors. Ask for Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat. GLO-COAT. Now to 79 Wistful Vista, where the McGees are working out the Christmas budget and are slightly aghast at their mounting household expenses. Let's look in at the lovebirds in their nest and hear them peep as they open their little bills. To say nothing of their big bills. Folks, Fibber McGee and Molly.
Just look at all these bills.
Oh, quit waving them at me. I know what they are. The same old stuff every month.
Well, I'm glad you realize it.
Well,
there's the $3 to pay on the refrigerator.
I know. And the $2 on the encyclopedia.
That's right.
$6 on the piano.
Yeah.
$4.50 on the radio.
Yeah.
$2.50 on the vacuum cleaner.
No.
Oh, we got that paid up?
No, they came and got it this morning.
Good. Getting too noisy anyway.
Well, now look, McGee. Our budget, we got to skip somebody.
Okay. How do we stand on the car payment?
Well, let me see now. We refinanced it in 1934.
Then we refinanced it again in 1936. And in 1937, we refinanced it. That car's been refinanced so many times, it shrugs its fender every time it passes a bank. Come in.
Kids,
oh.
How do you fix for Christmas trimming? Holly wreaths, poinsettias, mistletoe?
No, thank you, Mr. Oldtimer. I guess not just now.
I don't go for that mistletoe business, Oldtimer. There's too many guys that stand under and not enough gals that understand.
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't the way I heard it. The way I hear it, one fella says, tell her, fella, what do you think of that newfangled automobile Admiral Byrd's taking to the South Pole? Well, says tell her, fella, all I gotta say is you sure have to go a long ways nowadays to find a parking space. Sorry you don't need any Christmas stuff, kid. Having a special today on hollyberry.
Hollyberry?
Yep. I call them the grapes of wreath.
Grapes of wreath. Why, that old fuddy-duddy. I'll bet if they ever straighten out his wrinkles, he'd be 8 feet high.
Say, what did you do with last month's receipt from the finance company, dearie?
Huh? I don't know. I thought you paid it.
Why, I thought you paid it. You paid the month before, didn't you?
No. Didn't you?
Why, no, my goodness, McGee, we're 3 months behind in the car payment.
Oh, dear. Maybe I better run down to the finance company and explain everything.
Oh, well, I wouldn't worry too much about it, dearie.
Why not?
After all these years, don't you think they have any sentiment at all?
Go on. That finance company ain't got any more heart than a stalk of nightclub celery. What do they care if we've been paying them our good dough for 7 years?
Well, maybe you're right. Say, you don't think they take the car away from us, do you?
Oh, no. There's the thought. No quicker than a Great Dane would repossess a pork chop. Why, those guys at sea... Come in.
Oh, hello there, folks. Just thought I'd stop in and warn you.
Warn us against what, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Well, I wanted to tell you a man came to my door and inquired where you live.
Oh.
Yes, he said he was from the finance company.
Oh.
Oh. From the finance company, eh?
Yeah. Oh. You're not having any trouble, I hope.
Go on, Gildersleeve. You'd love it if we had trouble. If we was caught in an avalanche, you'd stop and throw snowballs at us.
Oh, come, McGee. I was merely doing you a favor.
Oh, yeah. Every time you do me a favor, it costs me dough. What do you say we get back on the old you hate me, I hate you basis?
Well, it's quite all right with me, McGee. And now that we've dug up the hatchet again, what was the idea of taking the Sunday paper off my porch last Sunday morning?
Who took what paper off whose porch?
You did, McGee.
Why, now, careful there, Mr. Gildersleeve. You're practically accusing me husband of petty larceny.
I certainly am. Anybody that would sneak up on my porch like a thief in the night...
It wasn't night. It was broad daylight.
McGee.
Well, what of it? Gildersleeve's been swiping our evening paper, ain't he?
Stop right there, McGee. I'll have you know I can afford to subscribe to my own paper. I don't have to stoop to take yours.
I'll say you don't. You could just reach up on the porch behind the lilac bush.
Ooh.
And furthermore, Gildersleeve, if I have any more trouble with you, you know what I'll do? I'll clunk you so hard your head will ring like the Westminster chimes on... What day do they ring? The Easter morning.
Is that so?
Yes, that's so.
I'll tie your limp little spine into 8 fancy knots and present you to the Boy Scout.
What true?
You keep out of this, please, Molly. So you'll tie my spine in a knot, will you, Gildersleeve? You know what I think of you?
I have a rough idea.
If you ever had an idea, it would have to be rough to make its way alone in the world.
You don't say.
I do say.
Why, you...
All right, you vocal ruffian. Go to your corners and doggle your throat. Would you mind telling me, Mr. Gildersleeve, what you told the man from the finance company?
Well, I told him I didn't know where you lived.
You do, too.
I told him I thought it was down the next block. I'm sorry now. I didn't bring him over here myself.
A lot of satisfaction you'd have got out of that, Gildersleeve. I know the law. I know my rights. He can't do anything to me.
How do you know so much about it?
Who, me? Why, just, Gildersleeve. I made a hobby of legal matters ever since I was a kid. Why, I wouldn't even get out of my crib until my nurse brung in a habeas corpus. And when I was just in knee pants, I knew enough law to throw the whole Bar Association for a loop. Loophole McGee, I was known as in them days.
Oh, my.
Loophole McGee, the lustiest, loudest legal light that ever leaked like a leopard on a lot of loose-living lawbreakers, flashing them in the Latin language and leading them like lightning to Leavenworth, love for my lively laughter and lofty legal legerdemain, and the long-lost leader of liberty legislation from the lovely lanes where the lopwings lead to the... Oh, you going, Gildersleeve?
Thank you.
crook, McGee. You've got to get in touch with the finance company and explain the matter before they take the car away from you.
Don't worry. I know my rights, Molly. They can't take that car until they serve us with a writ of detachment.
A writ of attachment, isn't it?
Detachment. They want to detach us from the car, don't they?
Well, I guess that's right.
Sure, it's compulsory. I'll answer it, Molly.
No, don't, McGee. Maybe that's the man from the finance company. Take a peek out the window.
Okay. Yep. That's him, all right. I remember him from 1936. Time he got nasty with me for absent-mindedly making the check out to the Wistful Vista Finagling Company.
Say, why don't we ask him in, McGee, and explain the circumstance?
Oh, no. The minute we open the door, he can slap a legal paper on it. And then we lose the car.
Well, how about if he breaks the door in? Is that legal?
Search me. Let me think it over a minute. Let's see now. Case of Gooney versus New Hampshire statute 99 to charge. Issued a writ of muggle mugsus. Malice of forethought. Statute decision out here in the basket. Yep. It's legal. Move that table in front of the door, Molly.
Oh, dear.
Come on.
Oh, dear.
Hurry up.
Put that in the
place.
Say, what if he hears this, McGee? We're making a lot of noise for people who aren't at home.
Maybe he'll think we got mice.
Oh, you mean when the McGees are away, the mice will play? Football?
Is the back door closed, Molly?
Yes, it is, dearie.
Let's see now. I wonder how else he could get in.
Down the chimney?
Not a chance. A bill collector hates to do anything that even suggests Santa Claus. Has he gone away, Molly?
Yes, he's left, dearie.
Uh-oh.
But he'll probably be back.
Well, by that time, we'll... Oh, he's back already. Hey, Molly, look. He slipped into a disguise. Dressed up like a woman. Wonder who he thinks he's fooling.
You, for one. That's Mrs. Uppington.
Uh-uh. Oh. Well, let's move this barricade just a crack, Molly, so she can slip in quick.
I'm afraid you're underestimating your proportions, dear. Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Uppington?
Well, how do you do, Mrs. McGee? And Mr. McGee?
Hi, Uppy. One side there, girls, while I move this table back.
Oh, my goodness, what is going on here?
Oh, we're just rearranging the furniture, Uppy. How do you think that table looks against the front door there?
Well, it's rather unusual, isn't it?
Well, we thought so.
Yes, how did one... Well, I mean about going in and out and all that sort of thing.
Oh, well, this prevents all that old stuff like that there, Uppy.
Oh.
After all, there ain't anything dignified about people tearing in and out of your front door all the time.
Certainly not. So you pile furniture against the door, which makes your home more exclusive.
Yes. Oh, yes, I see. tell me, is this a new theory of interior decoration?
Why, Mrs. Uppington, you mean you haven't heard?
Why, just it's the last word with the smart set in Peoria, Uppy. Sure. And they ought to know. Practically every house there has got furniture in it.
My, how very interesting. Well, perhaps I'll stop in again on my way home for my director's meeting and see how your house looks.
Oh, are you a director of something, Mrs. Uppington?
Oh, yes, my dear. In fact, I am one of the biggest stockholders in one of our largest companies downtown.
Oh, is that so? Mm. You're really a big woman in this town. Now, which one, Uppy?
Why, the Wistful Vista Finance Company. Oh, yes, it's quite a... Oh, Mr. McGee, you just put the wrong end of your cigar in your mouth.
Yes.
Well, I must be going now. Mercy.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that horrible table, I forgot.
You better sneak out the back way, Uppy.
The back way?
Yes.
Well, I know. Well, really. Well, goodbye.
Imagine Uppy, a director in the finance company?
Yes. Wait a minute, McGee. Yes. It's that collector again.
Persistent cuss, ain't he? Maybe if we took...
Anybody at home in there?
Shall we answer him, dearie?
I'll disguise my voice, Molly, and fool him.
I say, anybody at home?
Why, sir, but there's only just me and Lum sitting here.
Well, thanks, anyway.
Well, it worked, dearie. He's walking away, shaking his head.
Wow.
Heavenly days, you almost fooled me, too.
I did,
you certainly did. I never knew you could imitate Amos and Andy like that.
What do you mean, Amos and Andy? That was Lum and Abner. Don't you know Lum and Abner?
Oh, dear, he's back again. Wait till I peek out here. Yes, it's him.
Hey, what's that, an echo? Or has he got a guy working the back door, too?
We're surrounded, McGee.
Looks like it. Well, as the handkerchief said, as it climbed off the sewing machine, darn it, I'm hemmed in.
Well, hello there, folks.
I knocked at the back door, but I guess you didn't hear me, so I walked right in.
Why, hello, Mr. Wilcox. So that was you at the back door.
We thought it was another guy from the finance company.
Finance company?
Yes, you see, we forgot to make a couple of payments on the car, and there's been a man trying to serve a paper on it.
Oh, gee, that's tough. Well, maybe he'll go away after a while.
Them guys never go away. That's part of their training. They love to sit on your lap if they can find one in your payments.
Well... Well, you can't blame him. He's only doing his duty.
Huh?
Just the same as it's the duty of the Johnson's Wax people to have every linoleum floor in America protected and beautified with Johnson's self-polishing glow coat.
That's very true, Mr. Wilcox.
Won't you tell us more about what Johnson's glow coat will do for floors and linoleum, Mr. Wilcox?
Oh, you've heard it.
Oh, do tell us again.
I never get tired of it, Carlo. And I love that part where you strike an attitude of repose and talk about no rubbing and buffing.
Gee, do you really?
Oh, it kills me.
You mean where I remind people that no matter how much they use their linoleum floors, they can keep them beautiful and protected with Johnson's self-polishing glow coat? So easy, no work to it, just apply to the clean floor, spread it around, and in 20 minutes it's shining like new?
That's it. No wonder you sell so much Johnson's glow coat, Mr. Wilcox. You're so sincere.
Hey, now, wait a minute, Molly. I'm the guy that really sells Johnson's glow coat.
How do you figure that?
Well, take a look at this wire I got from the shipping clerk at Racine. He says, quote, "We shipped so much Johnson's Glow Coat last month, we used 100,000 extra fiber shipping cases." Unquote. Probably got my picture on every case, too. That's the real thing.
Here, let me see that wire.
Okay, bud.
Oh, I see. That's different.
What do you mean?
Why, it doesn't say fiber cases. It says fiber.
Oh, my.
Well, I'll see you later, folks.
Say, how long are we going to have to stay locked up in here, McGee? I feel like a bird in a gilded coop.
Search me like it's to get down and make them payments down to the finance company, I guess.
Uh-oh.
Now he's at the window. I'm getting so afraid, I'm afraid to even turn on a faucet in this house. I'm scared he'll come running out of the pipe.
Oh, that isn't the man from the finance company, dearie. That's Mr. Boomer.
Well, what's he doing at the window?
What's the idea, Mr. Boomer?
Quiet, my dear, quiet.
Huh?
Just dropped by to tell you there's a finance company flatfoot haunting the premises.
Much obliged, Boomer, but we knew it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Well, just thought I'd warn you, Fudd's face. Anybody that's an enemy of a bill collector is a friend of mine. What seems to be your difficulty?
Oh, we slipped up on our car payments, Mr. Boomer, and they're trying to serve us some kind of a paper.
That's all. Very distressing, I'm sure. If you want the address of a good lawyer, I can recommend mine. Has very cool head. Probably because he's a little on the shady side. Yes.
Well, it might come in handy at that, dearie. Who is your lawyer, Mr. Boomer?
There's a chap by the name of, let me see. I have his name and address right here in my notebook. Now, where did I put that notebook? Notebook. Let's see now. Here's a letter from my sister, Sophronia. Energetic little rascal. Says she's got her Christmas shoplifting all finished. Small acetylene torch. Sort of a financial can opener, you might say. Yes, you might say it. I'm sorry I did. Yes, indeed. Large unset diamond. Belonged to a girlfriend of mine. Ran out and left me holding the baguette. Postcard from a friend of mine who had to leave the state for his health. Poor lad. He was so weak he couldn't even waive his extradition. And a check for a short beer. Well, well, imagine that. No notebook. Wonder what I could have done with it. Well, no matter. I'll see him at the police station tomorrow morning.
You got a case coming up in the morning, Boomer?
I don't know. Depends on what luck I have tonight. Well, good day, my dear. Good day, Flytrap.
Jimmy Shields sings Lilacs in the Rain. Take it, Jimmy.
I see lilacs in the rain, and you are with me again. When April sprinkles her dreams in my heart. When we parted in the lane, the skies were cheerful with rain. The scent of lilac remained in my heart. What arms around you now, the mother love has found you now. But when love forgets to smile, my darling, once in a while, remember April and lilac in the rain. What arms around you now, the mother love has found you now. But when love forgets to smile, my darling, once in a while, remember April and lilacs in the rain. Remember April and lilacs.
Barricade ourselves in here. We're not criminals. Let them attach our old car. What do we care?
What? Take that car after I spent 5 Sunday afternoons putting in new piston rings? No, sir. They don't.
Uh-oh.
Oh, look, dearie. He's slipping the paper under the door.
Oh, he is he? Can't catch me that easy. I'll shove it right back at him. Peek out and see what he's doing now, Molly.
He's putting the paper back in his pocket.
Which pocket?
Now he's scratching his head. Now he's shrugging his shoulders. He doesn't seem to understand it.
Of course he don't understand it. Probably the first time he's run up against a guy that knows his rights.
Well, legal rights or no legal rights, McGee, I've had enough of this.
Huh?
You can come with me or not, but I'm going to make a break for
it. What do you mean?
I'm going to drive down to the finance company and tell them all about it.
Oh, now, Molly, you
can't. Are you coming with me or not?
Well, all right. Come on. But the minute we get outside the back door, run for the garage. That guy don't suspect we run out the back door. Oh! out of the way there, little girl.
Hi, mister. See, I've been waiting for you, Betsy.
Well, that's very flattering, I'm sure, but I ain't got time right now for any.
Oh, gee. I wanted to ask you a question, Betsy.
I'm sorry. Some other time, sis. Besides, why pick on me?
Well, everybody says you're a great guy.
Oh.
And wise, too.
Oh, they did, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Who said that, sis?
Oh, gee. Everybody.
Well, is that so?
They all say you're the greatest wise guy in town. Are you, mister? Are you?
Listen, sis, for the last time, run along and play and don't bother me anymore.
Oh, I bet you couldn't answer the question anyway, I bet you.
Oh, yes, I could.
Oh, no, you couldn't.
Oh, yes, I could.
Oh, no, you couldn't.
Oh, yes, I could.
Heavenly days, McGee. Come on, we'll get caught.
Wait a minute, Molly. I want to settle this. What was the question, sis?
Well, what does pretext mean, hmm?
Pretext? Well,
mm-hmm.
That means when you're pretending to do something you ain't. It's pretending. Oh, that may not be Webster's definition, but it'll do.
Oh, who's Webster?
He's the guy that wrote the dictionary.
See, did he make up all those words?
No, he didn't.
Who did?
Nobody. Everybody. Dad Rattle, how should I know?
Hmm?
Say, what is this? Anyway, where'd you hear that word pretext?
From my daddy. I'm holding you under Annie.
You're holding me under Annie? Annie what?
Annie pretext. That's what he told me to do. Oh, there's my daddy now.
Oh, boy, that guy from the finance company.
Hey, Daddy, I did it. I held him under Annie pretext.
Oh, good for you, dear.
Heavenly day.
Well, I'll be a... It was a frame-up, that's what it was.
No, it wasn't, I bet you. I got a quarter for it. So long, mister.
Well, are you Mr. McGee?
Yes, I suppose so.
I'm Mr. Perkins from the Wistful Vista Finance Company. I've been trying to get in touch with you all day.
Oh, no, really?
Oh, okay, bud. Okay, bud, you got me. Let's get it over with.
Mr. McGee, my father was credit manager of this finance company when you bought your car. Of course, that was before my time.
Never mind the sentiment, bud. Just get to the point.
Well, as I was saying, since then a new generation has taken over. I have my father's old job, and in checking through the records, I find...
Yes, yes, we know. You find that we're 3 months in arrears, so you're taking the car. Well, go ahead and take it.
No, I have a check here for you. I tried to slip it under your door, but some darn fool shoved it right back.
A check? What for?
Mr. McGee, you finished paying for your car 7 months ago.
What?
Yes, this check is a refund.
Well, you mean the car is all paid for? We got money coming back? The car is all clear?
Absolutely.
Hot dog. Did you hear that, Molly?
Yes.
Ain't that wonderful? Now we can borrow some more money on it.
Fibber and Molly will be back in just a moment. But now, just a word about some of the 100 extra uses for genuine Johnson's wax. Many housewives write telling us how they use Johnson's wax. Here's one, for instance. I always Johnson wax my windowsills. It protects them against rain, snow, and dampness. Now, doesn't that sound reasonable? A hard coat of Johnson's wax acts like a shield. It keeps moisture from hurting either the finish or the wood itself. If it rains during the night, you simply wipe off the windowsill in the morning. In addition to this protection, Johnson's wax gives rich, mellow beauty to everything made of wood. Your floors, woodwork, furniture, as well as to many other things like shoes and luggage and enameled refrigerators. If you already protect your floors with genuine Johnson's wax, you can save yourself many more hours of work by discovering the extra uses. You'll find these listed on the can of Johnson's wax, paste or liquid.
Folks, you've just heard our 225th broadcast for Johnson's Wax. And on this occasion, we would like to pay tribute to... Hey, Molly, who can we pay tribute to?
Why, I don't know, McGee.
You don't? Well, imagine that. No tribute. Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's self-polishing glow coat, Racine, Wisconsin, inviting you all to join us again next Tuesday night at this same time. Good night. This is the National Broadcasting Company.